It's interesting because what scares me is time management, social engagement, and financial freedom. But the things that excite me are time management, social engagement, and financial freedom.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier and healthier life freelancing. So before we get into today's interview, I want to talk to you about a brand new podcast that I'm going to be producing that I think you're really going to like. So I get a lot of email. I get a lot of email questions that come from listeners of this podcast, that come from my newsletter, that come from my blog or wherever else. And it's always been a bit of an uphill battle trying to stay on top of the kind of that Q&A. The biggest issue that I've had with it has been, let's say you email me and you have a really in-depth, juicy question, and I spend, 10, 15 minutes responding with, a few paragraphs of information. The upside to that is that hopefully I've helped you answer a question. But the downside is there's probably a lot of other people with that same question who would really learn a lot, I think, from that discussion, that interaction. So this new podcast is going to be called Freelance Answers. It's going to be a daily podcast. And then what that means is, this podcast now is weekly. There's usually one new episode a week. This will be one new episode each and every day. And now you're probably asking, well, how would that work? How are you going to, are you going to record every morning? The answer is no. I'm going to spend probably a day knocking out a dozen or so, maybe two dozen of these questions, and then I'll pass them off. And then my editor will basically put it together, a auto-published thing that will go out every day. But the benefit for you is you'll wake up every morning and you can listen to a short 3 to 5 minute discussion around a question about pricing, about traveling and freelancing at the same time, about starting out, about bootstrapping products. I've already had over 100 questions that have been submitted. So I already have 3+ months worth of kind of fodder for the show. I would love to answer your question. If you'd like to do that, go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/answers. That's going to be where you both ask the question. And once the show is live, which will hopefully be in about a week or so, that's where you'll be able to see all the different episodes. It's also going to be a video podcast. I don't actually know if that's an accurate term or whatever else, but I'm going to be recording all of these in my home office and make these available on YouTube, because a lot of the questions that people have submitted are videos. They're videos of themselves in front of their webcams asking a question. I mean, I know a lot of you are audio only. You listen to this at the gym or on walks or on drives or whatever else. So it might not be as appealing there, but I think that it will allow us to really kind of expose Double Your Freelancing as a whole to a new segment, that kind of YouTube, people who search things on YouTube, who search for freelancing advice and whatever else. So I'm really excited about this podcast. I hope you'll be a part of it. I think you'll get a lot of benefit out of just the variety of subjects and, questions that are really asked. So again, that's the podcast name is Freelance Answers. Once it's live, once it's in the iTunes directory and the everything that comes with that, I will let you know how to get to it. But for now, if you go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/answers, everything will be there, including submitting a question. So my guest today is Matt Opinski. Matt is a Double Your Freelancing Rate student of mine, and we've profiled him already on the website on doubleyourfreelancing.com, but I wanted to bring him on the podcast because his story is exactly what I love to hear. He's gone from $2,000 to $4,000 contracts to $50,000+ contracts, and he just now quit his full-time job to do this full-time. And there's a lot of things he had to overcome, objections, both internal and external. He had to really reposition what he did, how he did it, and everything else to kind of, what is that, 15x his income per project. But I wanted to get his story. So without any further delay, let's jump right into the discussion I had with Matt Opinski. Okay, so I'm here with Matt Opinski. Matt, welcome to the Business of Freelancing show.
Awesome. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So Matt, I wanted to bring you on because you have a really awesome story. You have a story of where you've gone from like $2,000 to $4,000 jobs to 50K plus gigs. And I really just wanted to hear your story and kind of hear about like what had to change both in how you sell and the kind of clients you have and maybe even the kind of work that you do to make that transition happen. But before we get into those details, you want to tell us a bit about your background? I see here that you started, before you were freelancing, you had a $70,000 a year job, and then I guess you eventually went out on your own. Like, what did that path look like for you?
Yeah, I don't want to go back too far and bore you with all those details, but basically, I started freelancing in college because I didn't want to work at the cafeteria or the library or anything like that. And I was going to school for new media design and imaging, in which I kind of focused on web design and kind of fell in love with that early on. So I decided to start kind of doing that for whoever I could on the side to learn more about it and to deliver some cool things for people. So that's really kind of where it all began. And then, you know, fast forward a few years to graduation, I found this great job here in Rochester, New York, which is where I've been for the last 3 years. And that is about a 70K gig, which is great. But all through those like kind of 7 or 8 years, I was still doing freelance on the side. And the projects kind of incrementally got a little bigger and better, but no like real big leaps. It, you know, it started out either free or a couple $100 here and there, and then it graduated into like $1,000 or $2,000. But that's pretty much where it plateaued, you know, right after college.
Which is fun. I mean, you had a 70K a year just out of college is awesome, first off. And nowadays, you and I aren't going to look at your $1,000, $2,000 jobs as huge. But when it's literally free money because it's on top of your existing salary,
right?
You know, it's kind of nice.
Right. It was really nice. In fact, yeah. one of my favorite things about it was that it was totally like no pressure, right? Because I didn't need the money. So I could do some experimenting. I could, figure out what I was able to charge people and different pitches and different strategies. And I didn't really have to worry too much about losing the work because I didn't really need it in the first place. So that was kind of cool leverage to have. For a couple years.
So when did you quit your job? When did you go full time?
Tomorrow's actually my last day.
Oh, really? Oh, well, you know, congrats. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. It's going to be a bittersweet day tomorrow because I love it here and I love all the people that I work with. Actually, a couple of my best friends work with me right next door. So
you're doing $50,000 jobs now while still maintaining that salary.
Kind of. Yeah. So a little bit more detail about that. So I landed one that was 18K and one that was 48K. The 48K one is over the next 6 months.
Okay.
It's like a 20-hour-a-week contract where I fly into New York City from Rochester for 3 days out of the month, each month that is, to do 8 hours a day there in the city with their team. And then the rest is remote 20 hours a week. And that's for the span of 6 months. That was that contract. The 18K one is a little bit more like what I was doing before. In addition to that, it's also 20 hours a week, so I can kind of, you know, planning to do both at the same time, obviously. But that one's not like a long-term commitment like that, I would say. It's a little more structured, like, I guess, the typical freelance project you'd have, 4 to 6 weeks, you get the work done, and that's it.
How did you go from the, you know, project type A to the kind of stuff you're doing now?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. So back up just a little bit into like the tail end of 2014, I got a hold of the Double Your Freelancing Rate course materials and the blueprint and started reading through those. And I already had, like I said, at that point, I had already really been doing freelance work for 6 or 7 years. And I kind of knew what to expect and how clients reacted to things and how fast I could work. And I kind of had a lot of the details down. Except when I was reading through those materials, I was like, wow, my positioning is way off. I could be doing way better if I just switched my positioning a little bit, just the way I like talk to people even about the projects that I was doing. That kind of sparked this spontaneous redesign of my website. I wasn't really planning on doing it around Christmas time, which was very busy anyway, but I went ahead and did it. And that's the current version that you see today. And after that, I just saw this huge influx of new work. I had been getting pretty regular leads, but I was like turning stuff down like almost every week because people were contacting me from all over the place trying to get me to work with them. So a few of those I landed, and they were a little bit bigger, kind of up into like 6-8K range. So I did see like an increase there in what I was able to do. And the timeline and scope of the project actually decreased along with that. You know, I was still doing this on top of my full-time job. Then just maybe I think it was just a month ago, going into April, I had these guys contact me for this 18K project. It ended up being, and they didn't even hesitate about it. It was just, you know, I sent them an email kind of before the formal proposal, and just to kind of feel them out and say like, you know, you know, just so we're speaking the same language, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Is this okay with you? And kind of told them like why it was going to be that much. And they were, they actually asked me to do more work for them after that. They said, that's fine. Can we actually throw on this, you know, a little bit of front end development in addition to the design?
And I'm going to guess that you positioned yourself as, you know, you're going to help them be a lot more successful as a result of what you're doing. So then it's not like they're piling up our expenses. They're doubling down on their investment, right?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because they actually, for that project, they didn't really disclose a lot of the business side of things. Because they're very, very early stage startup. And so it wasn't so much like I had to, I noticed in a lot of your materials, there's like, you know, price of the investment versus like potential return on investment. And I didn't really have like those figures. So I was more surprised than anything, I think, to find that it was just a matter of how I talked to them about what I could do. I was like, this is going to be valuable for you. It's good for your business. Here's a couple reasons why I think it's good for your business. Here's how I'm going to go about my process and getting the work done for you. And we're going to have a great working relationship. And that was really all it took.
I'm trying to remember the name of the article, but I wrote something a while back on how to sell a startup on value. And you're right. I mean, when you're talking about a new business, they don't have any existing profit to go off of, right? Like you can't say, well, I'll triple your revenue by doing X, Y, and Z because they don't really have revenue zero right now. So, you know, three times zero is still zero. So, but no, I mean, you're exactly right where you're probably the one of the few people, if not the only person they were speaking with who was talking to them about actually growing their business, I'd assume. Because most freelancers like, you know, I've been railing it for years now, are so focused on like the actual material that they do, right? Like the website or the app or the design or whatever else. They don't translate that. And actually this ties into what I talked about in the last episode with Jeff. They don't translate that into the business benefit for the client, right?
Right, right.
Were you scared to start changing the way that you sold yourself?
It was definitely scary. I mean, I feel like I've been pretty confident for the most part about these things. It wasn't as scary because I had the full-time job, but yeah, going from telling someone it was going to cost $6,000 to telling someone it was going to cost $18,000 was definitely scary. But you know, that was the whole point of the course, was double your freelancing rate. So I went from $50 an hour up to $100 an hour. And I decided for this contract, even though the number came out to be what I thought was you know, it was higher than what I had pitched in the past. I knew it was right because that's how the math added up. So I just said, you know what, let's go for it and see what happens. These guys seem great. They really like me. We've had a few good conversations. You know, I think this is the way we want to go. And I was right.
You know, it's hard for me to be honest, because it's been a while since I started making these changes in my own business. What I love about talking with you now is that you just recently started making a lot of these changes. You're becoming, as of end of day tomorrow, you're no longer employed, which I think is awesome. Yep. I think it's always an eye opener for a lot of us because we're not really typically educated to know a lot of this stuff in terms of like, you know, what is the business benefit? What does that even mean? How do you figure that out and everything else? And case in point, that's one of the reasons I created Double Your Freelancing Rate, because I saw how many technically amazing people were just lacking when it came to understanding that. And, you know, I didn't know how to do that when I started. It took me a lot of trial and error. You've got now a process, right? Like you've got a foundation that you're going to build your new full-time business off of.
Right.
You've got the contract, the 6-month, you know, $50,000 contract. But on top of that, you have now, like you said, I assume you're still getting a lot of leads through your site.
Oh, yeah.
You've got an asset. You've got a pipeline now. And that's something that a lot of people, when they decide to give up the safety and security of salary, they usually don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Monday, you're going to wake up and you're not going to need a... Do you telecommute now or do you go to an office?
No, I have a physical office space. I live out in the suburbs of Rochester, New York,
okay.
To central downtown.
Okay, but I mean, for the job you're quitting, you don't go into the office for that, right?
The job I'm quitting, I do go into the office every day.
Okay, but so Monday you're not going to be going into an office.
Monday I will not be going into an office.
Are you excited? I assume you're excited about
the difference next week will, you know, will bring to your life and your business. But what fears and excitements do you have about what's coming? What, you know, what's starting on Monday?
Sure. It's interesting because what scares me is time management, social engagement, and financial freedom. But the things that excite me are time management, social engagement, financial freedom.
Right.
Because I'm pretty good at time management, but I know that it's going to be more difficult than I think it's going to be. I know that it's going to be tough to, you know, get out and, like, you know, I have a team around me here at work right now. I'm not going to have that anymore. I can't sit in my bedroom for 40 hours a week. Like, I need to maintain a social life. So that's going to be something I need to be conscious of. And then financially, I mean, it's like, if you fail, it's all on you. But if you succeed, it's all on you too. Which is very interesting. So I feel like I'm pretty well positioned and well prepared, but those are definitely, you know, the main things, I think, for me.
Well, the way I see it now, I mean, a lot of people don't think of it this way, but you did, at least before you started. Well, I guess you've always been freelancing, but if you only had your salary job, you have one income source. You have one way of making money.
Right.
Now you diversified that while you were employed, and now you're just removing one income source. If you think about it, it's not like you're, you know, when you think of it in that way, it's really not as bad. It's like, you know, completing a client project, right? You've completed your big client project that took up the last few years of your life.
It's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, because that's really what a job is in a way, right? Like, it's a full-time client project that is monogamous. You've got one client, but you've already started to level up your ability to scale, your ability to get more concurrent clients, which, you know, if you have, I don't know how many clients you work with at once, but let's say you have three or four, I'd rather have 3 to 4 income sources versus one income source.
And, yeah, definitely.
You know, you've set yourself up well for that, which is why you're going to be successful with this new, you know, with the new full-time venture. What's your growth strategy, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So it's been a little bit of a whirlwind the last couple of weeks. I wasn't expecting to quit my job going into April. So this has all been pretty fast paced. But from what I've thought about so far, I think there's a few things I want to do. One is I have a couple of ebooks that I've been working on. I noticed there is this kind of interesting gap where, like, there's tons of information and resources for people that want to freelance, but there is very little information out there for people looking to hire those freelancers and all the questions that they have before they go through that process. Mm-hmm. So I want to create an ebook kind of for my clients almost, and kind of productize those in a way.
So kind of like a double freelancing rate, but for clients, not titled that obviously, but more like a how to go about asking the right questions to a potential developer, let's say.
Yeah. It's almost like a pre-qualifier for, like, you know, doing or hiring a freelancer the right way, kind of thing, or what you can expect. And, so I want to do that. I also have a couple of, smaller, resources. Like, I have a newsletter that I do right now, which is pretty small, but I'm hoping to grow that and just have that, kind of exposure, that outlet for different people. There's almost definitely going to be another iteration of my website coming out. Cause I think the positioning changes a little more even still, because that's what I'm doing full time now. Also, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take, but it would be nice, I think, in the future to maybe expand to more than just me and see if I can start my own business. I have to see how things go and how much I like working on my own and how much I can actually accomplish with just myself. So those are some of the things I have in mind.
Yeah, I mean, having been there, it's definitely different when you start, because ultimately everything weighs on you, right? Like, it's even though you have maybe subordinates, whether they be subcontractors or employees, ultimately you're still responsible, right? So it's a different kind of thing where you're selling the ability of others instead of the ability of yourself. It's another one of those mindset shifts. It's not always easy or natural for a lot of us. It wasn't really for me. I kind of made the mistake that thinking that, oh, I could just add more talented people like me and throw keywords at the problem and everything would go well. And then I learned about project management and really management in general the hard way. Because I was really, I mean, I was kind of technically in a management role in the last time I was employed, but it wasn't like it was when it's all you. Right.
Sure.
It's funny you bring up that book idea, because one of the ways that we got a lot of leads from my agency was to present seminars on how to hire a development team. You know, we talked about what you should ask, what kind of methodologies you should be looking out for, what are some things that should make you question their abilities. And of course, if you really think about it, everything we were recommending they look for is exactly what we did right. as a company. So it was self-serving in that respect, but it works, right? It actually reminds me a lot of when, I don't know if you know Patrick McKenzie, but when he was bidding for a contract and it was him versus this IBM consultant. Everything should have said that the IBM consultant should have won the project in terms of pedigree, in terms of portfolio and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, the company that was doing the hiring had followed Patrick's blog for a while, and I think even bought his video course on lifecycle emails. And when Patrick pitched and the IBM guy pitched, the reason they rejected the IBM person is, well, you're saying things contrary to what we know about lifecycle emails, which is basically what they learned from Patrick. So,
yeah, right.
You know, it set him up as the winner by virtue of the fact that he kind of set the expectations with that client as to what they should be looking for.
Right. It's interesting that you bring that up because the 18K contract that I got just recently, when I was having my initial conversations with them, they said they were looking for someone that they could basically bring onto their team to be like a close partner, you know, someone they could trust and rely on. And they actually had been reading through my blog posts, which I've only started doing over the last 3 or 4 months. And that they actually kind of got to know me a little bit that way. So when we actually talked for the first time, that already kind of set the stage. And they had a lot of their questions actually answered before we even talked for the first time. So they said that actually helped them a lot in choosing to work with me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you create that kind of content. You don't really know who's reading it, what they're getting from it. But I mean, I can tell you right now that I go to events and I've had people come up to me and like, oh, hey, Brennan. Yeah, how's it going? You know, I love that the thing you were saying the other day about this. And I'm like, wait, we talked before? And no, I mean, they've been in my head, though, by reading my blog. Right. And I think a lot of us underestimate and underappreciate the power of a long and systematic relationship with potential customers or clients. You know, you could have somebody who is in your audience, who is reading your blog, who's reading your thoughts, who bought your book on how to best work with, you know, a software company, let's say, or a development company, but they're not ready. They don't have a project on deck. However, when the time comes, let's say 6 months from now, that they do have a project, who do you think they're going to go to? They're going to go to you, right? Because they've learned that all from you.
Yep.
So it's kind of like these ticking time bombs that you let loose, right? Which is great. And I mean, that's a lot of the kind of the pro level consultants. That's exactly what they do.
Yeah, it's really been interesting. Like I said, this has only been the last 6 months that I've even started really implementing any of this stuff. So to see such, you know, amazing results already is pretty great.
Well, congratulations. That's incredible. And, you know, the fact that you've gone from moonlighting to being in the position that you have an overabundance of leads and you're billing them at a high rate and you're now able to really safely, which is more like I was not safe when I quit my job and that I did not have what you're going into. You know, I had my client, or actually I had two clients, but I didn't really have a framework for getting any more clients.
I see.
You know, I'm glad I finally got that because I was definitely driving my business off of luck and I didn't know it, but the fumes that I was burning were based off of just good luck that I had. But what you're doing differently, as you talked about with how you've strongly positioned yourself and it sounds like you've systematized a lot of what you're doing in terms of how you sell, which just will allow you to kind of sustain yourself.
Right? Yeah.
And it's more than most are able to say.
Yep. Well, a big part of that is because I found your material. So thank you very much for everything that you're doing and the things that you've been saying. It's really helped me a lot.
Cool. I'm so happy to help with that. Where can people find out more about you? How do they keep this conversation going?
Well, you can they can definitely sign up for my newsletter. I have a blog. My website is just mattolpinsky.com. There's a blog tab up at the top, so you can go read the blog post, which I try to update, you know, about twice a month, and I'll probably be doing that even more often now. So I try to keep in touch pretty personally with the people on my newsletter, because again, it's not thousands of people right now, so I can be a little more intimate with people. And there's a lot to learn on my site. I'm very active on Twitter. Those are probably the two like main sources. But people can email me. I'm very, very open with my social networks, and I try to respond to every email that I get.
Well, awesome, Matt. Thank you so much, and congratulations. Tomorrow you're going to, I don't know what time you officially clock out for the last time, but
I think mentally I clocked out.
Yeah, well, that's typical. But congratulations on making that leap. The two biggest leaps I think you can make entrepreneurially are when you divorce yourself from an employer, when you go and you've started that already by becoming a freelancer. You've already been paid outside of the typical confines of employment, right? But the second part, which it sounds like you'll be getting to when you create that book, is when somebody you don't know pays you and you didn't ask for that money. Those are, I think, the two big like levels, the big level up moments, right? And congrats on fully getting to that first one. And I look forward to talking to you again when you probably hit that second level. And yeah. I mean, the benefit is going to be, like we've said, it's going to be another great acquisition channel for clients.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to try to productize a few things in the coming year and make that yet, you know, another source of income. So yeah, I'm really excited about where things are going to go.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks again for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So I just checked the roster, and Matt will be at the Double Your Freelancing Conference this September here in Norfolk, Virginia. So if you want to learn more from him and all the other amazing attendees and speakers that will be there, you're not going to want to miss this conference. Again, you can get your ticket right now. That is assuming this is pre-September that you're listening, at doubleyourfreelancing.com/conf, C-O-N-F. Again, it's doubleyourfreelancing.com/C-O-N-F. As always, I would appreciate a review on iTunes if you haven't left one yet. And otherwise, we will see you back next time for another exciting edition of the Business of Freelancing podcast.